I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
It is Dom time. Welcome in, everyone. What a special day. I echo Rich. Thank you for listening to the station. Rich's show, my show, all the shows every day. But particularly on a day like this, here is one commentator's point of view, Dan. Oh, okay. We don't have that yet. Okay. We got a little, but I'll tell you what the New York Times said today. Then I'll play you the clip that's probably the all-timer about what happened on this day. Mike Huckabee tweets out New York Times account what they thought was worthy to tweet and preview their coverage today on 9/11, 18 years ago. New York Times says 18 years have passed since airplanes took aim and brought down the World Trade Center. Today, families will once again gather and grieve at the site where more than 2,000 people died. 18 years have passed since airplanes took aim. Wow, let's go and get those airplanes. Are we going to be now banning airplanes? Are we going to be at war with airplanes? Airplanes killed us. 3,000 or more on 9/11. Who knew? I mean, I thought it was terrorists. I thought it was fundamentalists, Wahhabi terrorists. I thought they were a plot, a well-conceived plot, given our lack of defenses on airlines. All these people that are grieving on the scene, they're crying about airplanes today. Wow. That's good to know. So, Dan, at 9:03 then, we should be ready. We will remember the moment when the second tower was hit. Now, as you know, that day has special significance to me, and you may have been there with me. It's a couple of locations ago where the radio station was located, a change in the parent company even. That's how long ago, that's how big it is, that I remember. I get a call shortly before, and we're talking on the phone about what does this mean, should I come in, because I wasn't on at 9 then. And then the second towers hit, and DJ comes in a room and tells me that, and I'm off to the station for wall-to-wall coverage with you. And 9:03 was the moment when that tower was hit, and there was no doubt when that was hit what was happening. Only in the minds of those who weren't paying attention, I guess. Of course, during my show that day and beyond, the Pentagon was hit. So coming up, our tribute, our remembrance, with amazing grace at 9:03 Eastern Standard Time. Nothing is more powerful to me than Amazing Grace. It's hard to look at these people, look at the names being read today, 18 years later, and to see how many in this country just, I mean, if I see one more progressive, one more thing like this New York Times, airplanes took aim and brought down the World Trade. Oh, you're not supposed to do that on 9/11. See, that's not being civil. Well, guess what? We're going all out on the Dom Giordano program today at 9:30. We're not forgetting. We don't forget any of this stuff. What happened 7 years ago on this day? What happened is you had a president of the United States that will never know why Shockingly, he didn't come to the aid of brave Americans under fire, that's right, in Benghazi. At 9:30 today, Tom Fitton of Judicial Watch will be with us. They are the premier people who have kept that alive through court documents or everything else, trying to get to the bottom of how President Obama and his administration failed to come to the rescue of people protecting our embassy in Benghazi. And I know we're not supposed to talk about Benghazi anymore. That's ancient history. Just let it go. Just like we're not supposed to identify, according to Representative Omar, who is it that attacked us on this day? Do you remember Omar's summation of what happened on 9/11?
CARE was founded after 9/11 because they recognized that some people did something and that all of us were starting to lose access to our civil liberties.
Oh, yeah. That's what this was all about. All right. So it's one thing for someone like Omar, but how do we take as the newspaper of record, allegedly, the New York Times tweeting out 18 years have passed since airplanes took aim and brought down the World Trade Center? See, this is the difference in talk radio, Fox News Channel. Others would just tell us to grieve on this day and to remember. On CNN, here's an example. John Avalon, this is a guy you see a lot, postures as this moderate, bipartisan. He does some kind of segment on their morning show. And I'll play you a little bit of it. We'll play the first cut here in a second. Here's Avalon telling us what the lessons of 9/11 are 18 years later.
It's been 18 years since 9/11. So children born on that day are now old enough to serve and fight in America's longest war. In New York City, there are 13 members of the next graduating class from the Fire Academy who lost their fathers in the destruction of the World Trade Center. For many Americans, there is an absence of memory about 9/11. But for others, it persists because of the memory of absence. Even this year, we've seen first responders have to fight for health benefits they were promised by politicians who swore they would never forget, aided by a comedian who was just trying to give back a fraction of what they sacrificed for us. And we've seen a president from New York float the truly awful idea of hosting the Taliban at Camp David for withdrawal talks within days of the 9/11 anniversary. 9/11 amnesia is naive in the extreme, because terrorism is always one bad day away from being the number one issue in America. But we've been able to forget not simply because of the passage of time, but because of the success of law enforcement and intelligence services, who stopped so many would-be attacks that they've become background noise. In the past year alone, we've seen the convictions of a Bronx resident scoping out targets for Hezbollah, two Chicago men and a Wisconsin woman for trying to support ISIS, a former U.S. soldier from California charged with trying to set off a bomb in Long Beach, while a Pittsburgh resident was charged with planning an attack on a church in the name of ISIS. Now, these are just some of the foiled jihadist plots that we know about. But in the past year, we've also been forced to confront a growing threat from another form of violent extremism, white nationalist terrorism.
There you go. All righty. That's what we had to get to. Even on this day, we're going to get somewhere else if we're on CNN. Should that be the centerpiece today? Is that it? Why can't we stick to the point about the attack? You heard John Avalon. Now he goes on to say, I'm not going to play Dan the full clip, the other clip right now, but he goes on to say, we've learned not to hate and we've learned not to fear. All right. So our out question today, you know, when you make your call, because we've got tons of other things, I want to play you President Trump yesterday. And this kind of ties together Trump and Bolton, I think, to a degree. President Trump yesterday talking about the Bahamians, and why he doesn't want to run and bring in, 30 to 50,000 people from the Bahamas that have been hard hit. But the out question today, when you make your call on whatever, your choice, and we'll see by the end what we come up with. What's one word that you think of when you think of 9/11? Or, and I won't steal them all, I'm just going to give you one, a moment. A moment not just from 9/11, but from the aftermath of 9/11, say the week to 10 days after that. That's when we saw all kinds of things we'll never forget. So you can hit us at the end of your call with either the word you were experiencing on 9/11 or the moment that you remember during the day and during, say, a week to 10 days afterward. Here's one that I remember. This was at, it was like at a fundraiser for, it may have even been weeks past. This is an Irish New York City firefighter, one of their leadership. Do you remember this memory? This to me is an iconic moment. It is one of my favorite. Whatever CNN and MSNBC say, this guy got it right. Here's what he said.
Our friends, our neighbors, our relatives, they are not gone because they are not forgotten. And I want to say one more thing. In the spirit of the Irish people, Osama bin Laden, you can kiss my royal Irish ass.
Pretty good, huh? Do you remember that moment? I have several others. So at the end of your call, hit us with that moment. There were at least 10 to 20 iconic moments coming on the day of and the days afterward. That was definitely one of them. Now, President Trump yesterday caused a stir, and we predicted it was toward the end of the show that we saw this. He was in the driveway, headed to, I think, Fayetteville. And it took a while for this to develop. And he's asked about Rubio and Scott and, well, not the governor, those two, the senators, want to bring in 30 to 50,000 people, Bahamian refugees, because of the devastation there. Listen to what President Trump said and see if you agree with it. Is this the policy that Trump has stood by? We're not going to intervene around the world. We're not going to be the world's policeman. And also, we are not just going to bring in tens of thousands of people. Are you aware it's guesstimated that there are a 500,000 refugees still in the country that were supposed to come here temporarily? Some of them, it's 10, 15, 20 years ago that they're here. 500,000. So these things, when this happens, they don't go away. Here's what Trump said, and I went back and took a look at some of this, about the Bahamas. Is there a lot of crime there? Apparently the State Department thinks so. Here's what he says.
So we're talking to a lot of different people on that. You know, we're recovering from the hurricane also. Florida did get hit, not as hard as we anticipated. And you look at Georgia, you look at South Carolina, North Carolina. I'm going to North Carolina right now, North Carolina, to have a rally for Dan Bishop. But before I go to the rally, we're going to be stopping at one of the sites that got hit very hard by the hurricane. So we're also recovering from a hurricane, but we have to be very careful. Everybody needs totally proper documentation because the Bahamas had some tremendous problems with people going to the Bahamas that weren't supposed to be there. I don't want to allow people that weren't supposed to be in the Bahamas to come into the United States, including some very bad people and some very bad gang members and some very, very bad drug dealers. So we are going to be very, very strong in that. Let me just explain. Large sections, believe it or not, of the Bahamas were not hit. And what we're doing is bringing the people to those sections of the Bahamas that have not been hit. We've done a lot of the USA aid. We've done a lot of work with our Coast Guard, with our FEMA people who have been phenomenal.
All right. So that's causing a stir. We'll play you throughout the show. It's being said, well, this is racism again because of the people that are Bahamian. It's also being caused as it's a sad day to be an American on the cusp of 9/11, where we won't bring in 30 to 50,000 people more. So 855-839-1210. I'm on board with Trump on this. I went back and checked just recently some of the State Department directives about crime in the Bahamas. That's one part. It's also this ongoing thing where we bring in untold numbers of people and it's not temporary. And how much of that should we be doing? So 855-839-1210, AT&T and Verizon Wireless, you just push pound 1210. And after you make your point, after your call, just hit us with that moment or that word for 9/11. I have about five or six more. Dan's a millennial. For millennials, this is huge. We'll explore that. Tom Fitton at 9:30 today. Today's also, sadly, the anniversary of the Obama administration allowing our people in harm's way while not coming to the rescue, not even making an attempt to come to the rescue. Benghazi. 7 years ago.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Okay, it is Dom time. Here's what we're going to do over 3 hours. We're going to bring you everything happening in the last 24 hours and beyond, some real fun stuff, and salute and remember 9/11 in an appropriate way, I think, that few in the media are doing today, including that New York Times tweet that I gave you. 18, they tweeted out. 18 years have passed since airplanes took aim and brought down the World Trade Center. These people in the media, I mean, is it any wonder we have such ignorance? Well, this is intentional. We're not allowed to say what happened and what the threat is and who still is a threat. The guy on CNN I played you goes off on talking about white nationalism. All that is a prelude to get to white nationalism and that threat. Is today the day to do that? Let's have another day. Which day of the week should we call White Nationalism Day? Where every day of that week, we'll hold it over in Haverford Township. And every day, that will be wall-to-wall stories. How about if we do that and let 9/11 alone and focus in on what that threat is, the meaning of it. Now, the millennials, 9/11 is a seminal event. You know, if you look at various points in history, maybe the Kennedy assassination was a turning point, right? It's one of those sorts of events, and 9/11 has inspired the Travis Manion event heroism. People that were 13, 14, 15, something like that on that date decided that they wanted to protect the country and serve in the military or some kind of capacity, right? Stories are legendary. Now, Dan's a millennial, so you're remembrance or takeaway, Dan, from 9/11?
Yeah, I was just a kid. It was an incredible... I remember being in middle school, finding out about it. Our teacher sat us down, explained what happened, turned on the TVs. Our parents came and picked us up soon after. But one of the biggest things was it struck fear into a lot of kids around the world, right? Or yeah. Around the country. And being a big, big sports fan, I'm a big wrestling fan. The moment that sticks out to me still, and you got to keep in mind that I had a very young mind at the time. 2 days later, September 13th, Vince McMahon came out and they did a live SmackDown event, WWE.
Mm-hmm.
And it was the largest, or it was the first large gathering of people following 9/11, and did about a 5-minute speech just explaining why he's out there. He started off with this right here.
Tonight, the spirit of America lives here in Houston, Texas.
And it was just incredible to see. He continued with the speech saying that he wouldn't allow terrorism to strike fear in people. And it was just a great event to see that that life still can go on following such an event as 9/11.
All right, absolutely. So to millennials particularly, this was in some cases, a big game-changing event. Kids that are in school now, though, are getting stuff like the New York Times stuff that we read you. All right, so we'll have Tom Fitton here, too, though. We're not supposed to remember. It's by happenstance that it falls on the same day when the Obama administration abandoned, with all the technology, all the military, everything that we have in the world, I'm never going to be convinced that we could not have come, you know, we don't leave people behind, right? What happened in Benghazi? Tom Fitton of Judicial Watch will be here. They've uncovered the most on this. 7-year anniversary of that also. Just one of the most shameful events imaginable. All right, I played you what President Trump said about the Bahamians, though, and why he thinks at this point this is something to be analyzed more and something to go slow on versus trying to help throughout the Bahamas. So I went back when he was talking about all that crime stuff, and I pulled up several articles a day. I didn't know this fully, that the State Department was issuing all kinds of warnings, more than just the normal warnings, about crime in the Bahamas, about sexual assault, robbery, gunpoint, and all that in broad daylight. And they talked about several stretches of the Bahamas where this was happening. They got into a big dispute with the Bahamian government. So is Trump wrong to say, well, don't we have to look at who we're bringing into the country? How much is our burden? How much is due to us? People are outraged, and then they go too far. Look, this is a good debate. Should we bring these people in? I'm on the side that says no. But it's a good debate. Why does it turn racial that you have people, Whoopi Goldberg on The View and others, we have a whole bunch of them saying, well, it's obvious. This is another example that Trump is a racist. I had people on Twitter hitting me yesterday saying that's what your callers and listeners sound like when they called in and said, no, it's not about this. It's about exactly the type of stuff that Trump enunciated. And I'm going to co-join that with John Bolton. Now, I've interviewed John Bolton. I mean, it was fairly easy to get him over the years, maybe 50 times or more. And he is clearly a war hawk. And it's pretty clear that he and Trump were always going to be a volatile mix. And when this blew up, well, it's pretty obvious why. Now, I'm not sure if it blew up over the Taliban in Camp David. I'm opposed to that, too. I think that's a mistake. But there were deeper things there. Bolton is a guy that's looking to use military action frequently. That's his first response, even in all these interviews that I've done. So this almost had to happen.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Dom Giordano program, 855-839-1210. Let me go to Christian in Bryn Athyn on Talk Radio 1210. Hey, Christian, good morning.
Good morning, sir. So just kind of give a little bit of a different perspective on what was going on. So I was on one of the Navy ships in the Gulf when the towers got hit.
Wow.
Yeah, it was a very different experience than what everyone else kind of went through, because we didn't know what was actually going on, really, the full extent of it. We, very long story short, basically we heard just in stages of what was going to happen, but we didn't get any kind of visual anything because they shut down all comms going on and off the ship.
Did it ratchet up, or maybe you didn't hear by that point, to your point, when the Pentagon was hit? Now, I was on the air when that was hit, and that's really when all hell broke loose, Christian, because before that, people thought, all right, they've attacked the towers. Maybe it hadn't fallen yet, and it was awful. But when the Pentagon was hit with listeners that day, it was like, my God, what in the world is next?
Yeah, well, we kind of heard it all at once. So we heard towers, and then,
right. You
know, towers got hit, and then 30 seconds later, towers came down, even though that's not real time. And then we heard, yep, Pentagon got hit, and then we heard, oh, yeah, White House is targeted.
Yeah.
And we were just, I mean, we were stunned. What do you say when you hear all that? So we very literally thought war was happening.
Sure. That's what I'm getting at, without a doubt, Christian. So thank you for your service on that, particularly on a day like that. What's the image, though? You had limited, I guess, from that. You had your own. You were right in the front lines. But is there an image from the days after that you remember?
The very first thing I saw relating to the whole thing was the towers down.
Right.
And it was so to go from them being up to down and the absolute destruction that it was overwhelming. You couldn't really process it, because you understood that those buildings were full. You know, we didn't know the body count at that point.
Exactly.
So it was you were muted by it, honestly. It was more than you could process initially.
Thank you, Christian. Thanks very much. Well, when we went up to New York to honor the Beamer family, that we chose as the person out of all that for the Let's Roll and the pushback, when we finally got there, you know, with all these people on motorcycles coming in, and we looked up at the skyline then, which we all knew. It's been the first time we were there. This was just days afterward, maybe a week or so afterward. It was shocking to be looking where the towers were and just have no sense of that. I can't remember, I wish I could, Dan, where we possibly staged this with a big crowd in New York and gave the award to the Beamer family. It was a big moment, to put it mildly. So far, people have said, let's roll. People jumping out of the 99th story or so because they would have been burned alive otherwise. What should be done on this day, I think, is that French documentary. Yeah, the French of all people. Where you keep on hearing this thud as they're talking at the lower levels of the towers. And that thud are people hitting the ground from 99 stories. That's what America ought to see, rather than being talking about airplanes crashed into a building and now let's just all say we're sad. All right, the towers finally down. When that came down, and to see that trail of smoke coming down the roadway there as they were falling, my God. All right, let's go to Steve in Northeast Philly. Steve's on Talk Radio 1210. Hi, Steve.
Hi, Dom. Thanks for taking my call.
You're welcome.
The two moments that stand out for me, I don't think I'll ever get out of my mind's eye, the image of the people jumping.
Yep.
Just horrific. No words to describe it. But on a positive note, I was at the vicinity of Ground Zero shortly after, and I drove out to Shanksville shortly after, and the mementos left behind by first responders, T-shirts and helmets and signs, homemade signs and things. It's the positive coming together of America, that moment that seems to be lost today, that the unity, the togetherness, the wanting to help, it seems in large part to be lost today.
Well,
so
it is.
Contrasting images.
Yeah, and Steve, I mean, what do we do when you have people on this one side, like the New York Times, that their major tweet today was, 18 years have passed since airplanes took aim and brought down the World Trade Center. You're not going to have unity.
Somebody did something, right? Somebody did something.
There's not going to be unity when you
despicable.
Have a side. Yep.
It's despicable.
And I'm looking at the tweets here of Scanlon and Madeline Dean, and they're all about grieving and remembering, but they're not telling us what we're remembering.
We have to remember what our enemy is, who our enemy is, and that we must defeat the enemy. And it's not something that's going to happen overnight. It's a long war. And the war is on their terms. As long as our enemies want to attack us and destroy us, we have to be vigilant and fight. And it's not, you know, it is the longest war because it's such a long hatred and such an effort on the part of radical Islamists to try and destroy America. So the fight must continue, and every American must be aware of what the fight is all about. It wasn't our fault. We didn't start it. We didn't provoke it. But we have to end it, and on our terms.
Steve, to Omar's point, too, we played that clip. Did CARE get started, or was it started before 9/11? Did it get started?
Long before.
I thought it was. So that's also factually incorrect. It wasn't started
absolutely.
In reaction.
In the 80s. Yeah.
To that. Thank you, Steve. Thanks for the work you do every day, too.
Now, with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Tip, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
On a bright summer morning, under a clear and cloudless sky, terror struck. To grasp the enormity of it is almost too much for the heart to bear. September 11th, 2001. It is a date that will be etched in history, engraved in stone, and in our memories. The day of the attack on America.
Oh, another one! one just hit. Something else just hit. A very large plane just flew directly over my building, and there's been another collision. Can you see it?
We just saw a plane circling the building.
Matt, I've never seen anything. It looks like a movie. I saw a large plane, like a jet, going immediately headed directly into the World Trade Center. It just flew into the other tower, coming from south to north. I watched the plane fly into the World Trade Center.
I just saw a second plane come in from the south and hit the south tower halfway between the bottom and the top of the tower. It's got to be a terrorist attack. I can't tell you anything more than that. I saw the plane hit the building.
I was there, and I saw the building collapse. We all started running.
Freedom itself was attacked this morning by a faceless coward.
Dom G or Dano Show, welcome in. Thanks for listening today, particularly. That's just some of the montage of the feelings people are having in real time. I was headed to the station and there for the second tower to be hit right around that time. Called in. It was a syndicated show on that was preempted 9 to noon, and I was with you, and we'll relive some of that. Particularly, I remember when the Pentagon was hit. When we got those reports, then it was incredible, the feeling of listeners. I don't remember anything in radio, anything I've done, where it was that intense. Rivaling it, I was called in on the night that we got bin Laden. I'll play some of that a little bit later, too. What that was like. It was on a Sunday night, very late. I was doing 9 to noon then, but they called me in. We preempted, went into special coverage, as America thought we brought somewhat of a partial conclusion to this, even though we knew this won't go away for our lifetime. That's what we're facing here. All right, so phone lines are 855-839-1210. At the end of your call, hit us with the image or the moment that you remember the most. We've had some great ones. Let's Roll, people jumping out of the 99th story, the towers when they both were fully down, Ground Zero at Shanksville. There are others, and I played you some, but I'd love to hear yours, that image that you remember. I'll tell you one that was tremendous. When those iron workers and others were marching in to New York City the day after and subsequent days after to dig people out, and people were found miraculously, and to try to restore, and New Yorkers by the thousands were cheering them on the sidewalks as they marched in. That was an incredible moment, just an incredible moment. And that was Dan Rather saying, we'll never forget. Well, I dispute that. I think you're seeing this today with this New York Times tweet in which they talk about airplanes aimed at the building rather than getting at the cause. It's shameful where many people on the left want to go with a day like this. They don't want to remember it in that manner because it's still ongoing to me. That's why we're remembering it that way. All right. Now, one of those people, it'd be interesting to see how he would characterize today, the goofy governor of New Jersey, signed into law yesterday and went on a tirade saying that despite her efforts, every day countless residents remain at risk of gun violence. So what they did yesterday is to further demonize anybody in any way, shape, or form that sells guns, any of the gun industry. They did that by talking about their buying power. New Jersey has spent, I'm reading right from the AP and Philly.com, they spent $70 million on firearms, ammo, and accessories for the state police and their other law enforcement agencies. That doesn't include the local government. So, Dan, you set out, and we've sent this to several people, to track this down. Is there anything you get from this budget? We're trying to see, why in the world are you spending this vast armament and arming, $70 million? What did you find?
Yeah, so I looked into the 2020 proposed budget for New Jersey, and the firearms and ammunitions, they are just under $5 million alone. But, you know, it doesn't answer the full picture of $70 million. So I reached out to the governor's office. I reached out to New York Times for clarification on the $70 million number. Mm-hmm. And we also reached out to New Jersey Representative Todd Stevens, just trying to get more clarification. No one has gotten back to me yet, but I will keep you abreast if any updates come through.
Okay. All right. So we're trying to get that. Here's my point. What this would do is New Jersey also does, they claim $1 billion in bank fees last year. They're going after any financial institution that has stock, buy stock, trades, any way, shape, or form. If you're a gun maker, a dealer, banks, financial institutions associated with this in any way that they connect, and you don't match their philosophy, which they say is common sense, and I say is gun grabbing, all the things that they would have you do, you have to submit this. I mean, Murphy, in his first year in office, signed 8 major gun control measures into law. All right? It's incredible. And yet, they view to protect, they have to spend, and this is an undisputed figure. I mean, this is in several statements, $70 million. And yet, they don't want citizens to protect themselves. Now, they're trying to squeeze the institutions. They're trying to drive out the gun industry by any means that they can. And yet they're upping their arms tremendously. $70 million. And yet in New Jersey, this all seems to be wise. Murphy is more determined, and there's other things we're going to do. He's being praised by the National Gun Control Group, Every Town for Gun Safety, who says Governor Murphy is doing what all leaders should do. He's putting his money where his mouth is. We hope that Washington takes notice. This is just amazing. So your entities, your protection, your law enforcement, your personal law guards and everything, $70 million. And yet you're trying to squeeze in every way you can the rights of people to bear arms in New Jersey, where it's already almost impossible. Others will follow this. Others will try to do this. This is the tactic. Now, you know, deep down, if asked point blank, where he has to answer and not get off the point, Murphy wants to take away guns in any way, shape, or form. That's what it comes down to. Of course, he would be protected while in office and out of office, hire private security, has $100 million. That's what this comes down to. And he thinks people are at risk in New Jersey because you have gun manufacturers that are operating there within the law. That's not good enough. And people, the financial system that supports this. That's why people are at risk. Not the pathology that progressivism has helped to unleash, the failure to back up law enforcement, and a million other things that they send a signal every day that help to provoke this. It's the gun manufacturers. It's the financial institutions that support them. It's a terrorist organization, in quotes, like the NRA. All right. Let's go to Bob in Cheltenham. Bob, you're in on Talk Radio 1210. Good morning, Bob. That's why people are... Yo, Bob. Good morning. Go right ahead. All right. I'll put you on hold, Bob. You're listening to radio, but that's fine. But jump in. Let's go to Ron in Harrisburg. Hey, Ron. Good Wednesday morning. Hi.
And, hey, you know, I have some comments that I just wanted to bring up. You know, regarding like Donald Trump and the lack of respect and the lack of you know, giving credit where it's due, because this man has absolutely positively changed things from where they were before in bringing back respect to law enforcement, building up our military, you know, unemployment issues that we've been facing. He's done everything for this country, and it's pretty sad that the left cannot at least acknowledge that, at least give him credit where it's due. And the thing that's been bothering me the most lately is quite simply the way that they address this. I used to look at people on the news as lawmakers and congressmen and representatives. Mm-hmm. And I used to say, you know what? Wow, how much do I respect this person? That's an educated person. This is a person who's dedicated their life and their career to serving the country. And now you act like you're in like a 13-year-old, like, you know, backyard, like name-calling contest. And that's what we reverted to. But the one thing that they don't recognize, and it's one simple question, Dom, and I say it to myself every day. When I wake up today, do I feel safer with Donald Trump behind the wheel? And that answer is pretty easy. Yes, I do.
Absolutely. That's a great question to ask on 9/11, isn't it? By the way, we're also remembering the anniversary of Benghazi, where shamefully we didn't ride to the rescue. We had Tom Fitton on from Judicial Watch. That interview will be up. All right, phone lines are 855-839-1210, AT&T, and Verizon Wireless. You just push pound 1210. Coming up, the tuna meal in the great lunch war over in Cherry Hill is no more.
The saga continues.
The saga, though, continues. You blew it. I need that in my thing here. I would play that multiple times.
Well, we can't do that right now.
All right. Well, soon. All right. That's right. That's right. I forgot. Oh, yeah. Okay. All right. So I'll give you the update, though. If you're not paying up, if you're a so-called lunch scofflaw, what pressure will be on your kids? Think of all the great snacks. If we had a tournament of 64 great snacks, what would be the number one snack that kids want?
Coming to the Dom show near you.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, what would be the number one snack?
Cheetos.
You think Cheetos? Oh, God. It's on the fingers.
Just Doritos.
Doritos. Let's ask Joe. Let's see what he says coming up. Let him ponder.
Okay, I'll
let him ponder. Okay. Dom Giordano program. Now, you know, I think if I polled certain people, they'd go, oh, you guys, you just never give it a break, do you? Today is supposed to be just a day of mourning, is it? Is it really just a day of mourning, or is it a day of remembering that we were attacked? This wasn't an accident. These planes didn't accidentally, according to the New York Times, they apparently did. They were aimed. The airplane made it aim itself into the can you imagine the amount of time they spent writing that tweet, sitting around? And I would go to Dan and he'd say, get the hell out of here. You're not embarrassing me by putting that out on Twitter, right?
Oh, yeah. And the thought process through my mind would go, what's the narrative we're trying to create here? Is it,
right?
You know, are we trying not to place the blame at the foot of Islamic terrorists? Or are we trying to blame airplanes similarly to how we blame guns for violence?
That's exactly right. So here's my question. This happened just a little while ago, and we'll get the sound for you of this. A 9/11 victim's son, at the reading of the names, at solemn reading of the names at Ground Zero, that thank God Fox is dipping in and out. They cover it. It's moving. It's unbelievable. He says, today I'm here to respond, Representative Omar, to you, exactly who did what to whom. Now, this is already getting criticism. It's kind of like, how dare you? Why would you have to do that? Why do you have to bring up Omar? Why do you have to do it at a solemn ceremony where you're supposed to be there reading a bunch of names so that we honor their memory by saying their name? All right. I want you to listen to this and tell me if you have a pulse, maybe you've never called before. I think this is wholly appropriate. I don't know who this kid is. I'd love to buy him lunch, dinner, breakfast, whatever he wants, even snacks. Okay, he's a little bit old. He looks like a kid. Maybe he's a little bit older, though, Dan. It's a 9/11 victim's son there with what appears to be probably his mom. Here's what he said at the reading out of the names.
And my mother, Frances Harrows. Good morning, brothers and sisters in good faith. Listen. Some people did something. I am here today to honor my 76-year-old mother, Frances, on the solemn 18th anniversary of the 9/11 attacks. Mom, we all miss you and love you very much. This day I also remember over 200 personal friends and coworkers that I knew that died. I remember Virginia Fox, Warren Grifka, and Lou Avassano. And I remember your sons and your daughters, your parents and siblings, and all first responders. I remember all, I remember them all, and pray with you for them today. Some people did something, said a freshman congresswoman from Minnesota, to support and justify the creation of CARE. Today, I am here to respond to you exactly who did what to whom. Madam, Objectively speaking, we know who and what was done. There is no uncertainty about that. Why your confusion? On that day, 19 Islamic terrorists, members of Al-Qaeda, killed over 3,000 people and caused billions of dollars of economic damage. Is that clear? But as to whom? I was attacked. Your relatives and friends were attacked. Our constitutional freedoms were attacked. And our nation's founding on Judeo-Christian principles were attacked. That's what some people did. Got that now? We are here today, Congresswoman, to tell you and the squad just who did what to whom. Show respect in honoring them, please. American patriotism in your position demand it. For God and country, amen.
Wow. All right, Dan, you're right. He's older. I'm looking at the picture here, too. He's got a hat on and all. I couldn't see it. But, yeah, he's an older guy than a kid. Is that appropriate? Well, apparently, you're not. My God. Don't you people ever stop with this. That is so beautifully put. He goes back and forth between direct and then into calm tone and all. And there's some applause there. Oh, you're applauding at the reading of names. This is outrageous. Here's what we're supposed to do on 9/11. We're supposed to just say we're grieving, we're mourning. But for what? What happened? We're grieving and we're mourning and that's it. And if we can throw white nationalism into this, let's do that. All right, so 855-839-1210. Is that appropriate? You know, I've been at funerals where people in their eulogy go off into something like this, and I think it's wholly appropriate. This is as good as it gets. We're going to play that every year. I'm here to tell you, all right, what happened and who did it. And then he's deferential to the office, but calling her out on this. Thank God there are Americans like this. Thank God they can't just bludgeon us with their idea of this is improper. How dare you? This is a day just to remember. But to remember what? Well, just that people died. Airplanes crashed into buildings. Oh, my God, 3,000 people. That guy laid that out beautifully. That is as good as it gets. And he's harder to hit because he does have victim status also. And to hear this ungrateful, she is the face of ingratitude. Rescued from a refugee camp coming to this country brings me back to what we talked about yesterday. Trump's reluctance to just bring in 30 to 50,000 people from the Bahamas willy-nilly, given some of what we've seen. Are we better off that Representative Omar's in this country? No, I don't think so. That she came through this status? No, I don't think so. What has she contributed? Other than this attack on everything American and this ludicrous speech that she made for CARE about some people did something on something. She could write for the New York Times. Is it appropriate to do this? This is the first time I remember it. Usually people get very emotional. That can happen at the reading of names and remembrances every year, particularly that first year on a personal grief level. Where they break down, it's hard to continue. No one has anything, you know, nobody sees that as out of bounds, nor should they. But is it okay when you have somebody like this and you have your moment to kind of settle this score? Yes, it is. He's saying, this is why I'm here today. This is why our grief, this did not have to happen. We were attacked. It's clear we shouldn't have been attacked. These were innocent people. And you want to get past that with your some people did something and we're going to get blamed and that's what the real story. No, no, no. Good for this guy. I would hope more people do that at these events. That's divisive. You know, this phony thing, we should be unified on this day. Unified in what? Can Madeline Dean and Mary Gay Scanlon and all these other progressives join us in saying what happened to us on this day and that we have to continue to fight back? No. I'm looking at their Twitter feeds and everything else today, And all they're saying is, let's remember the people, let's mourn. Absolutely. But the reason why it's not private, it's public, is because we were all attacked. You were attacked, and I was attacked. And every single person there, we were all under attack that day. And we are continuing to be under attack by these jihadists and others among us who would murder people in a heartbeat. That's why this is important. That's what unifies us. Not that we're just going to come together and grieve together. The fact we were all attacked. I love what he said, too. Our constitutional freedoms, our Judeo-Christian belief system. Oh, my God. Is this guy? Stop him, somebody. Where's the ACLU? He mentioned the base of religion, and he mentioned our constitutional freedoms under attack by these maniacs. All right, 855-839-1210. Simple question for you. Is it appropriate to do it on this day, or should this be set aside, as some tell us, where we just read the names, we cry a little bit, and then we move on? We never want to get to the heart of it on this day because that's divisive. Well, why is it divisive? It's divisive because you have people on the other side who just will not call that out. They're the ones that are making it divisive. I think it's cathartic. And to say our constitutional freedoms and Judeo-Christian principles, I don't know what this guy does for a living. That to me was poetic. It was beautifully put. It was timely. It was everything that you'd want. If I were one of those victims that he's honoring, I think he did a great job.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.